Hello, you've tuned in to Finding Truth Matters with Dr. Andrew Corbett. Welcome again to the program. What is it that defines a person as a Christian? A personal decision, a pattern of behaviour over time, or believing in a person or set of principles? In the context of Christianity, what is conversion? Tonight, Dr. Corbett continues to explore the conversion experience as described in the accounts of several Bible characters. Tonight he asks the question, how great is your God? As he looks at the conversion of Saul, the final in a four-part series on great conversions of the Bible. Let's join Dr. Corbett now.
Eternity. It's a powerful thought, the thought of eternity, the thought that time is far bigger than we understand. There's a couple of concepts that are far bigger than we can understand. One of them is infinity. I was never very good at maths at school, and I've told you many times the three things I struggled with at maths was numbers and counting. And the concept of infinity, even if I was good at maths, it would still hurt my head. Infinity to eternity, two concepts that are bigger than you or I. Infinity to eternity. How about this? You know the planet we're on? I've had the privilege of going most of the way around it. I've not been all the way around it, but it's pretty big. But you know, compared to the sun, if you have a look, compared to the sun, the earth is that big. Right there. Compared to the sun. Some, apparently, 400 times smaller than the sun, which is pretty small. Have a think about this. In our galaxy, that is the Milky Way, there are over 1 billion stars. Do you know how many zeros that is? It's a lot. It's about 8. 1 billion stars. Our sun is a modest sized star. And it has a temperature around its outside edge of 6,000 degrees centigrade. It travels at 155 miles per second. And therefore, the sun will make its first orbit around our galaxy in roughly 200,000 years. That's because our galaxy is big. But for every sun that you see in the sky, it represents another galaxy. Our galaxy is made up of 8 and nearly 9 would-be planets. Our galaxy called the Milky Way. That's it. That's what it looks like, apparently. Did you know that light travels? I did know this. Light travels at just about 300,000 meters per second. Kilometres per second. Those zeros, they mess me up every time. 300,000 kilometres per second. That's quick. How about this? And I worked this out, I'll have you know. In 1 year, it took me a while, I actually had to find a big calculator to do this. In 1 year, light travels at, you're going to be impressed now. I need to hear a few ooh when I say this. I haven't said it yet. Light travels at in 1 year, light will travel 9,392,000,000,000 kilometres. Thank you. Now, our galaxy, the Milky Way, from our sun to that thing that used to be a planet out there, the ninth speck, is, and then including everything else in our galaxy, it would take 100,000 light years to go from one end to the other. 100,000 light years. Now, get your ooze ready. Yeah, here it comes. Here it comes. Have a look. Here's a NASA picture. I think actually this is a picture by the Anglo-Australian Observatory showing that it's 100,000 light years across. in our galaxy. All right, so how long would that take? Or how far would light travel if it travelled the full length of our galaxy? It would travel 9,392,000,000,000 times 1,000, which is, thank you for asking, 9.392 to the power of 15. That means you add 15 zeros after it. Nine, that's a big number. I don't even know what that number is. It's big. My calculator didn't even know what number that was. It just gave me a little power two equation. And you know, I did. Well, that's the answer. 9.392 to the power of 15. It's big. That's big. That's like billions of trillions. Now, I need a volunteer, someone who's not particularly mathematically literate, just to make me look good. I'm going to pick one. Mark, thank you for volunteering. Come on. All right, mate, here's a visual demonstration. Oh, sorry. A visual demonstration. If from this hand to this hand is 1 billion, Mark, where on this timeline, where on this scale would 1 million be? Just come and point to where 1 million would be on 0, 1 billion.
No, not
there. All right, now Keith, tell him where 1 million, Keith will now tell you because I know he's mathematically literate. So Mark reckons it's about there, which is probably about where I would have said, actually I probably would have said about here, but yeah, it's about as close to zero as you can get. Remember, you're dividing from here to here by what is it? A thousand. A thousand.
A billion to a million.
Yep. A thousand. So one thousandth of from here to here. So a 1 million would be as close to here as you could get it. So when we talk about our galaxy being trillions and trillions of kilometres across, that's big. That's like whopping. That is really big. Now, here's an interesting thought. There was a physicist, an American professor of physics. His name's Charles Messner, and he was a friend of Albert Einstein. And his knowledge of Einstein led him to accredit this quote to Einstein. He said this, most preachers, this is what he says Einstein believed, most preachers commit blasphemy whenever they talk about God. Why? Because to a physicist, especially one who studies the stars and the planets, and they see that our galaxy, guys, I want you to get this, our galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, is one of a billion galaxies, and our galaxy is trillions of trillions of kilometres across. Do you realise how big this universe is? And when Albert Einstein and others looked out at it, they all went, wow. Wow. And recently, there's an Australian physicist, mathematician physicist, world renowned, regarded as one of the leaders in his field. His name is Paul Davies. And Paul Davies has written a book called The Mathematics of the Cosmos, where he says each of these galaxies, each of the stars, each of the planets, everything can be mathematically mapped. In other words, it didn't just happen. This guy says everything is in perfect order. Move one thing and the whole universe would collapse. Amazing detail. This guy, Paul Davies, isn't a Christian. He's a mathematician. He looks at it and goes, well, isn't that a coincidence? So, I want you to consider what the Bible says when it says there is none like God. None like God. I want you to consider that the birth of the Saviour in Bethlehem nearly 2,000 years ago was the birth of somebody who claimed they created all this. One galaxy that we live in, trillions and trillions of kilometres across, and the entire universe that is expanding at a rate faster than the speed of light. Now that messes with my head. But I know it's true because it's expanding infinitely. It is amazing. This is what the prophet Isaiah said. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 26. This is what he said. Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He brings out their host by number. That's exactly what Paul Davies said. They're mathematically in place. He brings them out by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. God holds the universe in the palm of his hand. Question, how big is God? Better question, how big is your concept of God? Because the Bible says he created this and it's like a speck of dust to him, a grain of sand. How big is your God? If Einstein, I hope you can see now what Einstein is saying when preachers that he knew talked about God. He said most of them blaspheme. They got no idea how big God is. They got no idea how powerful God is. And I dare say none of you in this room have got any idea, any inkling how powerful God is, including me. God is far bigger, far greater, and far scarier than you realize. This is what Charles Messner concluded on behalf of Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein, by the way, was not into organized religion. He found it too paltry, too trifling. He never met anybody who really understood how grand God is. This is what Charles Messner said. There ought to be a certain respect and for and fear of such a God who could speak this universe into existence. You meet a God like that, there should be a respect for and a holy fear for a God like that. And the deal with Christmas is we've beheld him. Mankind has seen him. He was born a baby. Think of the infinity of ingeniousness that the Creator used to communicate with mankind. He became a baby. Everybody loves babies. He came to disarm people's fears. This God of awesome infinity, awesome immensity, the only one who is eternal, no beginning, no end, came as a baby. How clever is that? How incredibly clever is that? We need to get how awesome God is. I want you to have a listen to this song by Chris Tomlin as he sings about how awesome is God. And I hope that if I achieve anything right now, I can just get you to get a glimpse of how awesome God is.
great is our God.
How great is our God, from age to age the same. He wraps himself in light and comes down as a baby. Awesome. How great is your God? How great is your God? My posthumous mentor, Dr. F.W. Borum, said this, and it strikes a toll of the bell to the core of my soul. In talking to preachers, he said this, the preacher must take note. The pulpit is the place for magnificent verities. That's an old word. Magnificent truths. It is the home of immensities, infinities, eternities. Borum said, whenever anyone occupies a pulpit, people should be captivated by the enormity, the immensity, the eternity, the infinity of God, who God is. I don't know what problems you're battling with right now, but I do know this. If you get a glimpse of God, those problems will disappear. They'll fade. One day, there was a man who was so gripped by this change of outlook that his life was completely handed over to this God. And in a moment, I'm going to encourage you to do the same. I don't care if you've been coming to church since before you were born. You need to give your life over to God. You need to get serious in prayer. You need to get serious in your pursuit of God. You need to get serious in your Bible reading and stop slacking around. This is what he said. When he considered the universe, he said this, from the time the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky and all that God made. They can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, infinity, eternity, immensity. So they have no excuse whatsoever for not knowing God. The Apostle Paul wrote that in Romans 1:20. But you know, he didn't always think that. He didn't always think that. I want you to turn your Bibles now to Acts chapter 9, and I'm going to conclude with the story of his conversion, the conversion of Saul. This has got to be one of the greatest conversions in the Bible. A man who was gripped by a God that he thought he knew. And perhaps that's your story. Perhaps you've attended church. Let me tell you, going to church doesn't get you into heaven. It just occupies your Sunday. This is what it says, Acts chapter 9, verse 1. But Saul, still breathing threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if they found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed round him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? This was a religious man, by the way. And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, and he neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am. And the Lord said to him, rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my namesake. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by the way you came, has sent me to you that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, he is the Son of God. And all who heard him were amazed and said, is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon his name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. That would have to be the most dramatic conversion of anybody recorded in Scripture. Not only was this man ignorant of God, this man was opposed to God. And yet God got him. God got him. There was a man who used to live under the bridge on the Thames at a place called Charing Cross. And it was at this point that one day he, although he had come from a well-to-do family, he messed his life up with opium. And there he was living under this bridge. And then one day this thought gripped his soul. Where will I be in eternity? Where will I be in eternity? If I was to die now, where would I spend eternity? And that thought dogged his thinking. It came after him, and eventually he surrendered to God. He cried out with a prayer, God, take my life. And then he wrote a poem called The Hounds of Heaven, where he describes the prayers of people that he knew and knew him. And as they prayed for him, the years that he tried to run from the hounds of heaven, the love of God, he called the hound of heaven, that came after him and after him and after him like a hunting dog and would not let him go until he surrendered to Christ and brought him home. That was like Saul. Saul hated Christians. He hated Jesus Christ. And he did everything he could to destroy Christ and his cause. And then one day, he met Christ. He went from being religious to becoming a Christian. If you think religion will get you into heaven, if you think religion will secure your eternity, for the sake of time and to further add weight to the evidence that I'm not politically correct, you're wrong. You've got that settled. Religion will not get you into heaven. Religion will not save you. Only Jesus Christ will. And that's what the Bible says. And that's what Paul went on to teach. That it's only Jesus Christ. This man was a bright man. He was somebody who wrote that passage in Romans 1 where he said, look at the night sky. Look at the heavens. Look at the stars. Look at all this. It's obvious that God created this and ordered this. It's obvious. I want to finish with just a modern day Apostle Paul type story. This man's name is Thomas Chalmers. Thomas Chalmers was a Scottish mathematician who became a Church of Scotland minister. When he was a Church of Scotland minister, he continued to pursue his mathematics and actually applied for the chair of mathematics, the professorial chair of mathematics at the University of Edinburgh in Scotland. And when he was interviewed for the job, they said, but you're a minister, how will you do two jobs? How will you be a minister and be the teacher, professor of mathematics? And he said, oh, minister, that's just an hour on Sunday, don't worry about that. He wasn't a Christian. He'd been doing this for 10 years, but he wasn't a Christian. He was a minister in the church, but he wasn't a Christian. He was religious, but he wasn't a Christian. And I reckon when the moment he said that, God heard, and the hounds of heaven were unleashed, and they chased him down. And then one day, gripped with his own sin, gripped with his own lost state, he fell on his face and he cried out, God, be merciful to me. Forgive me. Save my soul. And while they were still reviewing his application some years later for that position at the university, he was taken by his church and brought before them and charged with blasphemy. And he said, but man, I said that when I didn't know Christ. Now I've come to know him. So will you abandon mathematics? Abandon mathematics, he said. Mathematics speaks and screams of the glory of God. No, I won't abandon mathematics. I now see that God is in mathematics. And I love him all the more. Wow. Go Thomas. And there's a building called Chalmers in town, named after him. Thomas Chalmers, 1800s. Got saved. Found Christ. Maybe you're here today and you've thought, being religious is all you needed to do. Go to church is all you needed to do. Be nice is all you needed to do. No, if that's all you needed to do, Jesus would never have come. There would be no need for Easter. Paul's life was changed. Thomas Chalmers' life was changed. Albert Einstein's life was beginning to be changed. Many others, their life has been turned around because they've got a glimpse of a God who's far bigger than you've ever imagined. You too can know God. You can know God. If your life is without purpose, you need to know God. You can know God. This is what Jesus Christ said as I bring this to a close. He said this, ask and keep on asking. Seek, keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. And the promise was, in asking, you receive. In seeking, you will find. And in knocking, the door will be opened to you. If you don't know God, it begins with one prayer. It begins with a prayer. And that prayer could change your eternity. Let's pray. Holy God. Awesome God. Oh God, you are great. We have no idea how great you are. And Lord, we appeal to you right now. Come and show us what we need to do. Come and show us who we are in your sight. Come and show us what we need to do. Father, for everyone here right now, Lord, I don't care if they've been traveling this journey with you for decades. I don't care. Lord, we need to be following you today. We need to be walking with you today. We need to be passionate for you today. Oh God, if there be anything between us and you, I pray remove it. If there be those here today who are saying, man, what is this guy on about? I have tried, oh God, I've tried to convey to everyone listening today, Father, just how awesome you are and just why I believe you're the only one who deserves that adjective. So Lord, I pray right now, come and speak to everyone here. And if you know you're not right with God, you do not have peace in your soul, you know that your life is not right with God, you've been trusting in whatever you've been doing, can I suggest this prayer? Dear God, please forgive me and help me to live for you. I accept Jesus Christ into my life. Come, Lord, and change me. I accept you as the greatest treasure of my life. Amen.
So, how great is your God? We hope you've been challenged to reconsider your own relationship with Christ. You can purchase a CD copy of tonight's program for $5.50, including postage and handling. Finding Truth Matters resources, including podcasts, are available from the website www.findingtruthmatters.org or by contacting Lagana Media at PO Box 1143, Lagana, Tasmania 7277. Just quote the program title, Great Conversions of the Bible, Saul. If you'd like to subscribe to Finding Truth Matters monthly e-newsletter Perspectives, visit findingtruthmatters.org and click subscribe. Dr. Corbett is pastor of Lagana Christian Church and president of ICI Theological College Australia. Finding Truth Matters is produced by Lagana Media, and we look forward to joining you at the same time next week for another Finding Truth Matters.